Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entrekin.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entrekin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. You can find me on the Twitter at BD Entrek, BD. E-N-T-R-E-K. Hope you all had a great Wednesday. Fun day of a lot of day games, as we talked about before. Some good action there, a little bit in the evening. And tons of news to talk about here. And plus, a little preview of Thursday's seven games we'll have on the docket for you. So let's get to the news and notes from Wednesday. Christian Yelich was activated from the IL. Kind of a surprise because we've been updating the news on Yelich. Didn't seem very positive. And then it went quiet for a bit. And then out of nowhere, activated from the IL on Wednesday. The corresponding move, though, was even probably more of a surprise as Tyler Black was sent back to AAA. People were very excited about a week ago when Black was activated or brought up from AAA to make his MLB debut. He kind of underperformed a bit there. Black hit 227 over seven games with a 35% strikeout rate. Well, there's a good chance we'll see Black again this season. Christian Yelich went right back hitting third for the Brewers at DH, went 0-for-5 on Wednesday, but better days to come, likely, for Christian Yelich. Robbie Grossman was traded to the Texas Rangers on Wednesday. The White Sox and Rangers made a deal, sending Grossman back to the Rangers for reliever Anthony Hupi-Tuonetoa. I apologize on that one completely. I even looked it up. Couldn't find the pronunciation anywhere. Grossman was only hitting 211 for the White Sox with no home runs and two stolen bases. He's just outfield depth, but not a whole lot more for the Texas Rangers. Dane Dunning of the Texas Rangers was placed on the IL with a shoulder issue, was all they said. Quite vague when all we hear is shoulder issue, so we'll have to wait in the coming days to see what the extent of the injury is for Dane Dunning. Owen White was recalled from AAA to take Dunning's spot on the roster. White came out of the bullpen on Wednesday's doubleheader and faced three batters, allowing three hits and allowing three runs. Not a great outing for Owen White. Max Scherzer of the Texas Rangers is still dealing with his thumb slash forearm injury. Kind of tingliness, can't really feel his thumb right now, which is not great. And the Texas Rangers just reassured everybody, Scherzer won't be doing any throwing until he's completely pain-free. So this setback is going to be for quite some time, it feels like, because I doubt he's just going to randomly wake up one morning and be good to go. Mark Canha of the Detroit Tigers was out of Wednesday's game, second game in a row for Canha to miss for the Tigers. He's battling an upper respiratory infection. That is not good, folks. Sounds like something that might keep him out for a couple more games. If you have weekend lineup locks of biweekly lineups, Canha might not be a guy to lock in this weekend. Tyler Soderstrom of the Oakland Athletics was recalled from AAA on Wednesday as Daryl Hernández, who we talked about yesterday, is heading to the IL with a severe ankle sprain. We mentioned that Hernández was going to undergo an MRI on Wednesday. Didn't show any ligament damage or anything like that, but just a very, very bad ankle sprain. So he's going to miss some time. Soderstrom went 2-for-5 in his first game back with a home run for the A's, which was nice to see. Soderstrom was hitting 245 at AAA with seven home runs. He adds catching depth, first base depth. We'll see where the other positions shake out. Maybe around Abraham Toro plays more for Hernández, and a lot of moving parts there in Oakland. CES, Christian Encarnacion Strand. This one's a bummer. We reported about it recently, how he missed a few games after getting hit on the hand with a ball. And, x-rays came back negative, missed a few games, came back and played, nothing crazy. Well, CES is going on the IL for a while. More testing took place, more imaging was done, and there is a fracture in CES's wrist. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with this injury. No surgery at this time is necessary, but we will see how that one goes. The Reds signed Mike Ford to a major league deal on Wednesday to take CES's roster spot. Ford can play first base, of course, DH. That left-handed power might be entertaining in Cincinnati, but I'm not overly excited about it. This is a bummer. Edward Cabrera, who left Tuesday's start with an injury, was placed on the IL on Wednesday with right shoulder impingement. This will mark Cabrera's second IL stint in the last 3 months. This is not good, obviously. It's common sense stuff. We'll wait and see further news on this situation for Edward Cabrera. On the bright side, Braxton Garrett was activated off the IL for the Marlins, and Garrett is scheduled to start on Sunday. Dansby Swanson of the Chicago Cubs was out of Wednesday's game dealing with a lingering knee injury. Apparently, Swanson tweaked the knee in the Astros series, and this is the second game he's missed since the series in this past week. So hopefully Swanson will get better soon and might miss a few more games here and there. Brandon Drury of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim left Wednesday's game after tweaking his hamstring. After the game, Drury said he was in quite a bit of pain and he'll get more testing done on Thursday. Paul Skenes, it's happening, folks. It's happening, GIF. Get it going. Paul Skenes is going to get called up and make his MLB debut on Saturday versus the Chicago Cubs. The former number one overall pick, Skenes, had a 0.99 ERA over seven starts at AAA with 45 strikeouts and 27 and a third innings pitched. That's just bonkers stuff. If you're a Pirates fan, you know, you usually don't have a ton to look forward to, but now you got Skenes and Jared Jones in the rotation. Two out of every five games should be pretty entertaining for you guys going forward. Jorge Soler of the Giants finally went on the IL with his shoulder injury. Like, I had people messaging me on Monday, being the Giants fan, what should I do at lineups, this and that. I said, sit him. I said, sit him, because even if he comes back, the shoulder's not healthy. He's not hitting. So hopefully some time on the IL will help heal the shoulder and maybe get Jorge Soler hitting once again. Time will obviously tell on that one. Elio Ramos was recalled from AAA to take Soler's spot on the roster. Ramos hit .296 at AAA with eight home runs and two stolen bases, and he went 1-for-4 with a run and an RBI on Wednesday night. Blake Snell of the Giants is set to throw a bullpen on Thursday, and then he will have a rehab start on Sunday at Single A San Jose. If all goes well for Snell, Snell will rejoin the Giants rotation next week. We have a slew of Mariners pitching moves here. Nothing super fantasy relevant, but the Mariners made a few moves here. They activated Edward Bizzardo from the IL, recalled Kirby Snead from AAA. They sent Taylor Cicito to the IL, and Emerson Hancock was optioned to AAA. There you go. Two up, two down. Matt Brash was also moved to the 60-day IL, so lots going on there in Seattle. Pete Fairbanks of the Tampa Bay Rays will make another rehab appearance on Thursday at AAA Durham. If all goes well, Fairbanks should rejoin the Rays this weekend. That's something to look forward to there. Chaz McCormick of the Houston Astros will begin a rehab assignment this weekend, and they're only expecting a few games from McCormick because he had a minor injury. He should return early next week for the Astros, barring setbacks. Romy Gonzalez of the Boston Red Sox was activated from the IL on Wednesday, and Zach Short was DFA'd. Romy's just a utility piece, nothing fantasy relevant. Interesting one here, Ryan Pressly has not thrown in a game since last Friday, and we found out on Wednesday, Pressly is dealing with a soreness in his lower back. That is not good, folks. I would expect an IL stint soon unless something crazy happens tomorrow. Taj Bradley will be activated from the IL. Taj Bradley was activated from the IL on Wednesday as Ryan Pepiot was officially placed on the IL with his injury we've talked about in recent days. Bradley is scheduled to start Friday versus the New York Yankees. All right, before we take a look at the highlights from the day and a little peek ahead to Thursday, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. And welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Inchkin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. Some hitting highlights from Wednesday. Shea Langeliers, absolutely loving the doubleheader versus the Texas Rangers. With the two games combined, Langeliers went 5-for-9 with a double, a triple, two home runs, three runs scored, and eight RBIs. This is what Langeliers does best. He'll just like be strikeout machine, not getting hits. Then he'll have monster games. He had a three home run game earlier this year. This is what he does. That's why the nickname is Bangaliers. I did not make that up. That is a thing. On the season, though, here's your example. Shea Langeliers is hitting .209 with nine home runs, 16 runs scored, and 24 RBIs. That's a tough one to roster in fantasy from time to time. Willie Castro of the Minnesota Twins is doing it again. He's taking advantage of playing time due to injuries and pretty much doing what we expect from Willie, what we saw Willie do last year. On Wednesday, Castro went 2-for-3 with a triple, home run, a run scored, and two RBIs. On the season now, Willie Castro's hitting .273 with three homers and five stolen bases. He's going to be, if this keeps up, he's going to be in line for their 20-plus stolen base season with, you know, 11, 12 home runs. It's going to be another quality season for Willie Castro. This is why he was a very popular pick in draft and hold formats. Mitch Garver of the Seattle Mariners went 2-for-3 with a home run, a run scored, an RBI, and a walk on Wednesday. After a very, very slow start to the season, battling a back injury, Garver's got things going here of late. Over the last 11 games, Garver's hitting .263 with three doubles, three homers, six runs, and six RBIs. Make sure you check out the Daily Batters Box article on pitcherlist.com for more details on the day's top hitters. Some starting pitching highlights from Wednesday. Gavin Stone took care of a weak Marlins lineup. Stone went seven strong, allowing one run, six hits, no walks, and four strikeouts. Stone had nine whiffs and a 21% CSW on 89 pitches. Strikeouts is the only thing that keeps Stone from being elite. More often than not, he still struggles, don't get me wrong, but he'd be a dominant fantasy pitcher if the strikeouts were to come up. Through seven starts this season for Stone, he has a 3.55 ERA with a 4.3 xFIP, 27 Ks and 38 innings pitched. Chris Flexen of the Chicago White Sox got it going again on a Wednesday versus the Tampa Bay Rays. Flexen went six innings, allowing one run on three hits, one walk, and eight strikeouts for Flexen. Flexen had 12 whiffs and a 30% CSW on 96 pitches. Pretty impressive stuff. Maybe dig in a little more, and you look at the peripheral stats, and he's got the 4.6 ERA and that stuff, and you kind of wonder, but he's got it going of late. Over Flexen's last five starts, he's thrown 22 and a third innings, allowing only four earned runs with 18 strikeouts. Kyle Bradish is looking good, folks. Five innings pitched, one earned, four hits, two walks, and nine Ks. I know it's the Nationals, but good to see in Bradish's second start back from injury, especially when he had 12 whiffs and a 34% CSW on 90 pitches. He's pretty much ready to rock and roll now. Through the two starts since returning from the IL, Bradish has gone nine and two-thirds innings, allowing two earned runs with 14 strikeouts. Make sure you tune into the Plus Pitch podcast with Nick Pollock and read his daily SP roundup to get caught up on all things starting pitching. Some relief pitching highlights from Wednesday. Carlos Estevez picked up his sixth save of the year for the Angels. Jordan Romano, his fifth save of the year for the Jays. Emmanuel Clase, he's already got like 11 saves on the year, picked up his second win of the year. Alex Lang got the loss in a 10-inning Guardians win against the Tigers. James MacArthur bounced back nicely, came in. Actually, he wasn't scheduled to pitch, but things got out of hand late. James MacArthur came in and picked up his eighth save of the year for the Royals. Robert Suarez picked up his 12th save of the year for the Padres, one of the Suarez and Finnegan, two of the best closing values on draft day. Daniel Hudson picked up his second save of the year for the Dodgers. It's kind of been a revolving door. Second save opportunity since Phillips went, second closer getting the save. Kirby Yates picked up his seventh save of the year for the Rangers. Joe Mantiply picked up his first save of the year for the D-backs after Ginkle struggled to lock it down, and Paul Sewald threw on Tuesday, coming off the IL, wasn't going to throw a back-to-back game. Jacob Webb of the Baltimore Orioles picked up his second save of the year in 12 innings of the Orioles' W. Craig Kimbrell blew the save. It's been an atrocious run for Kimbrell, but Kimbrell got that quote-unquote manager's confidence nod after the game. We'll see how that one plays out. Michael Kopech picked up his third save of the year for the White Sox, and Johan Duran picked up his third save of the year for the Twins. Make sure you read the Daily Reliever Ranks article on pitcherlist.com for more information about all things relief pitching. DFS, there's two three-game slates, a three-game day slate, three-game main slate. Not going to really go over those on this show because I hate small slates. But a couple things I'm looking forward to. Again, seven-game slate, most of it's like a three-day, one midday, three-evening set up this on Thursday. Nothing crazy. Getaway day, always small slates on Thursday. We've got a couple fun ones. Logan Gilbert versus Pablo Lopez, Mariners Twins. It's been a fun series between the two. And now you get two elite pitchers on the bump between Gilbert and Lopez. That should be fun to watch. Ronel Blanco, can he keep the miracle season going for the Astros against Marcus Stroman and the Yankees in the Bronx? The Yankees have had the Astros numbers to start this series. We'll see if Blanco can shut things down. And that's about it. The other games, like I always love Keaton Wynn, but you probably don't want all my homer talk all the time on this show. But Keaton Wynn and Coors should be a fun one as well. That'll do it, folks. Another episode of the First Pitch podcast in the books. Make sure y'all go to pitcherlist.com. Become a member at PL Plus and PL Pro. You won't regret it. Get you in an awesome Discord talking all things baseball, fantasy baseball, and more. They got a bunch of new tools coming out right now. You got PLV Plus that you get to utilize. There's a weekend fab pitching podcast by Nick Pollock, if you're a member, and there'll be more content like that coming down the road, and plus projections and much, much more. So go check it out. PL Plus, PL Pro. Trust me, a lot of great stuff. You won't regret it at all. That'll do it, folks. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to recap Thursday, get you ready for Friday, heading into the weekend of action. But this was your First Pitch podcast, Thursday, May 9th edition. Hope you all have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.